Well, we've got some delightful glass objects here which I want to tell you about. So, Caution Fragile, our guest this time on Culture File, has the dream of bringing the glass industry in Ireland back to life. In case anyone missed it, after several promising rallies and a sort of hopeful stint in rehab, the industry has passed away one day in 2009 when glass manufacturing as a mass industry in Waterford ended. Artist Roisin de Boutlere walked the silent glass houses of Waterwoods very soon after that, and began formulating a mission to somehow extend the tradition and preserve the expertise of the craftspeople of Waterford. The latest surge in that mission is a show called Caution Fragile, which is currently running south of Seattle at the Museum of Glass in Washington State. The show combines Roisin's own work as an artist with the skills of former Waterford glass workers and the musical talents of Super Gale Liam O'Mwaley, who created brand new compositions on glass instruments, the ones that we have here, or ones like them, that Roisin and her collaborators had made. So Roisin's here, and she's brought along some of these instruments, and we have some willing volunteers from the orchestra who are going to tap and stroke them at the appropriate moments, hopefully. But before that, we'd maybe learn a little bit more about Roisin and her glasswork. I say that these are currently on exhibition in Seattle. Seattle is not just a random location. That's quite an important place in the world of contemporary glass.
Yeah, it has become probably the most important place for contemporary glass due to a real influx of lots of young makers and lots of people who are developing contemporary glass as a new art form, as a new media.
What you've got there is a kind of glass startup culture, which is quite unusual. Is that the sort of thing that you could see happening in Ireland? Is that the sort of thing you'd like to see?
Absolutely. What happened in Seattle was during the 1970s, there were a lot of ceramists who started to develop ideas about building small workshops, making glass in a very small environment away from the factory situations. And due to one particular man called Dale Chihuly, who really pushed this, he was actually from Tacoma, where the Museum of Glass is, and he started to educate other people and get other people excited about that. And the relationship between glass and ceramics is quite close. It's working on a centrifugal force, etc., except of course there's a lot of heat involved. And this started then to mushroom out. He built a small school called Pilchuck Glass School, which is in the mountains, and invited artists from all over the world to come and work with him and develop ideas using this glass media to express themselves in a sculptural way, away from actual making products or bowls or vases, etc.
Exactly. We're talking about kind of art glass rather than plate glass for houses or windows. I mean, the stuff that Chihuly makes and your own stuff is more the creation of an artist who happens to use the medium of glass.
Exactly. And it's exploiting the properties that glass has as a material, which doesn't have, no other material has: transparency, translucency, refractiveness, optics, etc. And playing with those elements, a little bit like taking a tune and playing it in different ways, or exploiting it in different ways.
So at the moment, as you say, a number of objects like the ones we have here are in the museum in Seattle. But what exactly is the show that's happening in Seattle at the moment?
Well, it's a show. I wanted to put together a show that really demonstrated the virtuosity of the skill that we have in Ireland. A lot of people think that because the factory closed down, there were 4,000 people working for the Waterford Crystal Factory at the height of its success, and now it has been scaled down to a much, much, much smaller company. Not a smaller company, but a smaller production in Waterford itself, and there are a lot of very, very skilled workers who are still living there and, you know, still could make really fantastic glass given the opportunity. And I went and approached three of the master craftsmen from the factory, asked them if they no longer work for the factory, but I asked them, were they interested in collaborating with me to make a different expression of glass, not the glittering trophy or the sports trophy or the shamrock bowl that we hand over to the president.
Because that's the idea, I think, when we think of Irish glass, we do think of Waterford cut glass.
Exactly, but the possibilities with glass are absolutely endless, and the colours you can get and the textures and the surfaces, etc., are absolutely endless. So this was something I wanted to exploit and to explain to them that that's also possible to do this in this country. And so we decided to take, starting with them, working very much from the concept point of view as well, started to take different elements about expressing the idea of Ireland, because I believe that our glass heritage is part of our culture, it's part of our heritage, it's something that we really need to celebrate and to share with other people. So one of those elements, there are three strands to the exhibition. One is in the landscape of Ireland, the second is through historical objects, looking at archaeological objects from the National Museum, and third is the sound of glass.
Which is the most important one for us here today. So I think maybe it's about time we heard some of these instruments.
Could I just put in a caveat here for the poor people that I've just grabbed from the Symphony Orchestra, who have never even seen these pieces of glass, that they have had no time to practice. But as I was trying to explain to them, there is no wrong way to play these. These are about the sound of glass. It's about the resonance of glass. It's about what sound glass can make that no other instrument can make, and the beauty of that, and the excitement of finding a new sound and seeing what we can do with it. This is an unbelievable dream to have these guys
you're
here.
You're putting even more pressure on them now, you know. So tell us about this first one. This is a large and, should I say, eminently smashable piece of glass that you have on the table before us. It's a vase that you strike, or the intention.
It's a big hollow object that is oval shaped. It's quite egg shaped, with the top cut off, is the only way I can describe it. And it is about 36 centimetres in length and about 32 in height. So
somebody going to strike that? Yourself, is it? Or a professional?
I think I'll leave it to the professionals.
As well as that kind of vase, you have these things here, which keep putting me in mind of a monstrance that the priest would hold up for benediction. They're kind of like a star-shaped object. What do you do with that? I see the other two gentlemen behind me have a couple of these monstrances.
These are actually quite ridged objects, and in the Museum of Glass we have a beautiful piece called the Rattle, which has a ridge, a very textured surface of the glass. And by stroking the surface of this texture, you get this lovely rippling sound.
That's very beautiful. I don't know which of those would be the winner. Are we going to try something with them all together?
Are you willing?
Looks nervous. There's one more here, which is, if you just do that one in front of the microphone. Which I'm calling a yop-yop, which apparently isn't what it's called, but it very much sounds like a yop-yop.
It's also a hollow object, and that sound is being trapped by the hand actually releasing quickly from the top of the hollow object.
Okay, so if you all want to take it away, gentlemen, you can play us out. And back to you, Liz.
And thanks so much to Luke Clancy and Culture File with guest Róisín de Butler. I won't say that the RTÉ National Symphony Orchestra is made redundant by those new instruments, but they certainly are absolutely beautiful, and fair play to our intrepid percussion section, who, as always, did themselves proud. Woohoo!